You're listening to the Growing Up Rock Podcast with your host, Stephen Michael, and Sonny Hollywood Pooney.
Hollywood, what's happening?
How are you, sir?
Dude, I am rocking. I am rolling. I am hanging out on this fine evening. So what do we got in store? We got a little bit of a different type of show for listeners tonight, don't we?
Yeah, so there's a new, it's not really new, actually. It's been around a little while, but it's new to me or new to us. And there's a platform out there called Podchaser.com, and Podchaser is kind of like an IMDb for podcasts. Like right now, they have 52,000 music podcasts alone. And I think they have a 500,000 total. I think music is about 10% of everything they have. And basically, they pull your RSS feed from other places and put it all in one place. But what's cool about Podchaser is there's no app, but the website's mobile friendly. It's desktop friendly. It's laptop friendly. It doesn't matter if you have an iPhone or an Android, and you can rate the podcast, review the podcast, and you can rate review episodes, which nobody does. So Podchaser is pretty cool. So I think we're going to talk to one of those guys, right?
Yeah, it's super, super easy to use. And we reached out to one of the co-founders of Podchaser because I wanted to kind of get his story and find out more. I mean, yes, we're a music podcast, and yes, Sonny and I are music freaks, but we're also podcasters and we're also avid podcast listeners. So we kind of wanted to find out about podcasts today, the different tools that are available to us and the new tools that are coming and how it can impact us. Because Sonny and I both listen to a shitload of podcasts, right?
Oh, yeah. I listen to, I think, 52 now.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, podcasts have kind of split our listening time in half with music. And so that's why we love our show. We love what we do, but we also try to give kind of a mixture of talk and music. But this show today, when we talk to Cole Raven from Podchaser, who's one of the co-founders, it's all about talk. I mean, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty about Podchaser and what it can offer and where Cole thinks, podcasting in general is kind of going. So should be a good conversation. I mean, really looking forward to this conversation for sure.
Yeah, you got to love the guys that are out there trying to help the little guys, right? So, I think you and I have talked about the Joe Rogans, the Eddie Trunks, those guys of the world. They don't need people's help, but we're just starting up, right? Yeah. Decibel Geek's been out there, but they could use help. You know, anything that adds listenership is good for rock and roll altogether, where these big guys don't really need that help.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even though podcasts like Decibel Geek and Podcast Rock City and all these podcasts that Sonny and I both have taken part in and are avid listeners of, they've been around for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years or even more, like Mark Striegel from Talking Metal, been around for all these years. But we're all still kind of considered the small guys on the block, comparatively speaking, to like these Joe Rogans and these Eddie Trunks and guys like that. So Podchaser is all about kind of helping out the small guy. And for a podcast like Sonny and mine, where Grown Up Rock is just now turning a year old, we really can use all the help we can. And it helps us tremendously when you guys go out and you either rate us or leave us a review or rate us and leave us a review and then share those episodes. Podchaser makes it so freaking easy to do that. Like literally 2 seconds and a couple clicks of the button and you guys could help us out immensely. And I mean, so I'm all about tools like that and platforms like that that are there to get the word out, to share music, to share our podcast. It's fantastic. I love it.
And they make it so easy, right? First of all, it's completely free. There's nothing to sign up. All you got to do is enter a username, an email address, and whatever you want your password to be. That's it. There's no confirming the email out of your email address. There's none of that. They make it so easy. You can start listening to podcasts right away. And for those people, I know I do it a lot. I know Stephen does it a little bit less. I listen to podcasts at 1.5 times. Sometimes I do it at like almost 2 speed. They let you do it at 3 speed if you want to. So you can get through some of the content faster. I mean, it's just too easy.
Chipmunk speak.
Yeah. It's hard to do with music, but it's easier to do with talk radio. Yeah,
you can only do that with our show when it's just Sonny and I babbling on like we have been doing. So it's easy to do then, but then when we whip out some music, you got to slow it down and take in those fine grooves, my friend.
That's right. And right now, as of right now, we are number one music podcast on Podchaser.
Whoop, whoop.
But we're tied with somebody else for the amount of ratings that we have. So anybody who hasn't rated us, you got to go rate us on Podchaser. And obviously, hopefully we deserve 5 stars and we get 5 stars from you. But a rating really helps on Podchaser, where in iTunes, a rating, first of all, is hard to do. And second, it can just get lost in the crowd sometimes.
That's it. And be on the lookout because we're going to be doing some promotional giveaways with Podchaser soon. We've got some awesome killer new shirts coming in different colors, and it's going to be simple to do that. So we're partnering up with Podchaser a little bit to get some of that stuff out to you guys. But if you guys would be so kind as to go rate us and review us and share us, that would help immensely. And it's only a couple clicks of your time. And hopefully you're digging it. I don't want you to do it if you're not digging it, but hopefully you are digging it. We got listeners out there, so somebody's listening. Most definitely. Hey, but before we get too far into this, we need to seriously do this. Hey, Samantha, tell us all about it.
Everyone's got a rock and roll story to tell, and we want to hear yours. So go to our website at growinguprock.com. That's one word, growinguprock.com. Or visit us on our Facebook page at Growing Up Rock and tell us all about it.
All right, so grown-ups of the week, these are all the people that shared us on Facebook and retweeted us on Twitter, and we had a bunch. Here's all the folks. Tony Rambo, Mike Parnell, Aaron Baker, Bill Elam, Bill Algy, Gabby75, Lady Lake Music, Rodney Dixon, Kristen Kivo, HairNetRadio.com, John Benderama, Alan Tate, Marcelo Verzi, J.R. Cottles, Janet Eck, Sherry Williams, Jody Havnot, Jay Sablewski, Mark Morris, Little Fish, Talking Metal, Nighthawk, Andrew Jacobs, Music Palace Radio, George Bays, Electric Circus Radio, Bella Lowe's 1966, Daredevil Productions, Dan Nation, Dirk Sokolowski, Mark Winder 8, Ogata, John Duinell, David Hedson, Shawana Lee, David Cathy, Vinny Folletti, Trace Mess 469, I Love It Loudcast, Focus on Metal, Steve 436-18155, I hope that's not your phone number, Steve Wright, Clansman 65, Jason Alexander, Daryl Alber, Classic Rock Drops, Eladio, The Power Chord Channel, Digital Killed, DNR's Studio CEO, Metal Empire Mag, Shane Abert, Tammy Sullivan, Adam Cox, Podcast Rock City, Decibel Geek, Tony Masalam, Chris Sinzak, Abby Magali 3, Donia Badasico, Fast Vinny, Tom Dust, Ages of Rock Podcast, Peter Cessary, Courtney Cronin Dold, Jason Kearney, Victor Ruiz, and Ear Peeler, which they're doing a great job over at Ear Peeler. So you want to check out earpeeler.com. Save Rock and Metal, the Peter Principles, the folks who give us our bumper music, Restrange shared us, Paris Records shared us, Podchaser shared us, and then Bob himself shared us. So it was a great week and a half, and we appreciate you sharing.
I love that episode. It was a good episode. I enjoyed hanging out with Bob and talking Sunset Strip.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. You know, Bob, he answered a lot of questions that he probably hasn't been asked before, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, enjoyed it immensely. Hey, guess what's coming up there, Sonny?
What's coming up?
Rockin' Pod 2 in Nashville, baby. Take a listen to this.
Still love it loud?
So do we.
Rockin' Pod returns to Nashville on Saturday, August 25th. Over 25 rock podcasts from all over North America recording on-site. Vinyl and memorabilia dealers selling the best in rock merchandise. And awesome rock musicians and personalities participating in signing sessions and on-stage panel discussions throughout the day. Special guests include current and former members of Korn, Kiss, Angel, Winger, Loudness, Accept, Bang Tango, Kick Tracy, as well as producers that have worked with Slayer, Ozzy, Alice Cooper, Seven Dust, and many more. More guests being added weekly. Don't miss your chance to be part of an awesome celebration of all things rock. Rockin' Pod takes place at the legendary Nashville Palace, August 25th, 2018. More details available at rockinpod.com. That's rockinpod.com. The Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo. Brought to you by Blind Tiger Record Club, School of Rock Nashville, and School of Rock Franklin, a DBG Productions event.
All right, so Rockin' Pod 2 Nashville is quickly approaching on us, and listeners can donate and get some really, really cool VIP content that's not available to anybody else to listen to. Do a donation, I think they give you access to this VIP listening site, and I know there's several cool things, including the fact that Sonny and I just did a release on a record that we think was underrated. We won't tell you what that is. We'll leave it to the mystery, but it's out there. So we did like, what did we do? Like a 45-minute episode almost, right, Sonny?
Yeah, it was something like that, 30, 40 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good time. But there's tons of other stuff. Other podcasters are putting in time. Other shows are putting in time. Ken Mills, the Rock and Metal Combat Guys. Shoot, there's all kinds of stuff on there. Really good stuff to listen to keep you entertained for quite some time. And only you have access to it because not on iTunes or Google Play or anywhere else. You're not going to get it anywhere but in that VIP forum. So check it out. Small donation. It will help us achieve our goal to get to Rockin' Pod 2. We're going to be there no matter what. This is just helping us fund the thing because neither Sonny nor I are multimillionaires. So that's not happening out of our pockets, right?
That's right.
It's time for the Crank It Up New Music Spotlight.
All right, so Crank It Up Spotlight is a little bit, since the podcast is going to be a little different, we picked a little bit different music. So I have really been into a kind of a pop punk band called Masked Intruder. And the gimmick here is all four of the guys wear ski masks and they play in ski masks and nobody knows who they are. And they got the whole, you know, Kiss makeup thing going, but it's just with a simple ski mask. The members are blue, yellow, green, and red. It is catchy music. It's aggressive music. They're from Wisconsin. They've been around 6-7 years. They've released a couple of CDs and a couple of EPs. Everything's available on iTunes. They got some really fun videos. So if you go to YouTube and check out Masked Intruder, there's a fun video called Crime Spree. There's a fun video called Beyond a Shadow of a Doubt. There's a fun video called How Do I Get to You? And it's kind of funny. Oh, no, it's I Don't Want to Be Alone Tonight, actually. The video is of somebody playing a video game. And every time they shoot a police officer, it turns into a pig. And it's just so odd. These guys are just fun. This is not cut my wrist, mohawk punk music. It's not that. This is fun, catchy pop punk music. Check it out. This song's called 25 to Life.
Some people say that love is a prison. You're locked up whenever you're in it. Well, I don't buy it. Thank you.
All right. If the band Masked Intruder sounds a little bit familiar to you guys, we have our friend over there at Podcast Rock City, Sonny Pooney's partner in crime, the fantastic Jody Havnot, to thank for that. The beautiful thing about music, and I've said this a million times, is that we can all have these varied opinions and all have these different tastes, but we can all find common ground somewhere, whether it's Kiss, whether it's Van Halen. So you got a guy like Jody Havnot, and you can go back and listen to the episode we did with Jody Havnot. We did a time capsule with Jody, and Jody is out and out a punk fan. He's got his own show outside of Podcast Rock City called The Dummy Room, which he just launched not too long ago. And you can find that on iTunes or anywhere else. We share it quite often. But he's out and out punk guy. But at the same time, he loves bands like Kiss and bands like Striper. And he loves all this other stuff. But this band, the Masked Intruders, he's really fond of these guys, and he's turned Sonny onto this. And this song, I mean, you can't deny that song's just fun. It's catchy, it's poppy, it's rocking, it's everything, you know? So I love that kind of shit. Anything that rocks a guitar like that and makes me smile, come on, man, that's good shit.
Yeah, and the whole CD's like that. Like, there's a song about they're breaking into some girl's house, and all they did was break in and start singing. And she's annoyed because they broke in. And she calls the cops, and 911's asking, what's wrong? Well, they keep annoying me. They're singing. But they're not taking anything. No, they're not taking anything. Like, it's just this weird, I think it's part about love, part about kind of like a little bit of stalking, but it's kind of like a fun thing all the way around.
Funny and creepy all at the same time.
That's right.
It's all good. So check them out, Masked Intruders. And hopefully you guys dug that song. It's definitely a little bit different for us, but that's okay. We say guitar-driven rock, and for me, that's guitar-driven rock. Maybe with a punk edge, but whatever. So, you know what? I don't know what else we need to say. We've taken up a bunch of time getting into this episode, and so now I think it's just time to turn it over to my interview with Cole Raven and let him tell you all about Podchaser. Sonny, do you have anything you want to add?
No. Thank you so much for listening. I'm looking forward to hearing what Cole has to say. He seems like a smart young guy, so let's check it out.
Yeah, you guys enjoy this interview with Cole Raven of Podchaser. We'll see you guys next week. Later.
Later.
All right, with me today is Cole Raven, who is the co-founder of Podchaser. Podchaser is kind of a podcast database search engine / discovery tool platform. Does that about cover it, Cole?
Yeah, that about covers it. So we're a central destination for podcast data and discovery. Yeah, and I appreciate you having me on. I know this is a little different than what you normally do, so I'm happy to share.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, we are a music podcast, and we've found a home on Podchaser, and most recently, even at the top of the music category platform, so that's awesome. And we've been sharing it with our listeners. We're excited about it because we think it's a really, really cool tool. So we want it to get the word out to the listeners and to people in general that are podcast fans, because podcasts have obviously become such a huge thing over the past several years. So what's your role at Podchaser?
Yeah, so I usually just tell people that I'm a co-founder. I guess you could call me like CMO. I'm really in charge of marketing and growth of the website. So just educating the world about what we're doing, getting in touch with podcast creators. I do a lot of partnerships as well with podcast players and podcast networks. So I wear a lot of hats, as many co-founders do. But I would say that marketing and growth is really my main focus.
That's awesome. And there are 5 co-founders in total, I think, 2 in Australia, yourself, and then Kentucky. Is that right?
Yeah. So right now there's 4 of us. So there's me. I'm in Indianapolis, Indiana. Bradley, who is in Louisville, Kentucky. And then Ben and Ryan, who are both in Melbourne, Australia. That's right.
Fantastic. So let's find out a little bit more about you, one of the guys behind the venture. So tell us a little bit about yourself. First of all, are you a podcast listener?
Yeah, I listen to podcasts probably for several hours every day, all sorts of different stuff. Listen to podcasts all the time, and I have for years and years, a long, long time. I grew up right here in Indiana, actually in southern Indiana in a town called Evansville, and moved to Florida for a brief while and then moved up to Indianapolis for a sales role that I left just a few months ago after we were able to successfully fundraise and raise our seed round of funding to build and grow Podchaser.
Yeah, that's right. I recently read, as recently as within the last week, where you guys had just closed out your seed stock funding, right?
Yeah, that's right. So we're going to be using those funds to build all of the features that we've been promising the entire podcast community for the last year. So lots of cool stuff that we're going to do with that seed money.
And have you ever been on a podcast before this one, or have you ever created your own podcast?
I've never created a podcast myself. You know, I've been on a couple and had some conversations with people who are on podcasts. Of course, I listen to a lot of podcasts. One of our other co-founders, Ben, in Australia, does have a podcast called BitStorm, so he has some experience from that side of things. But I'm really just a podcast consumer. I don't know really a whole lot about it from the other side of things, other than, you know, all of the hundreds of conversations that I've had with podcasters about, you know, maybe some of the things that they struggle with and what, you know, their plans and how they're trying to grow their shows. So maybe from a marketing and kind of content creation perspective, I have a little bit of experience with that, just with some of the podcasts that I've talked to. But as far as like the production and editing and all that goes into a podcast, I have just about zero experience.
That's all good. So we're going to have a ball today, because I don't know what podcast you were on before this one, but I'm positive they weren't near as fun as this one's going to be. So we like to keep it a little bit light around here. So if you did own your own podcast or do your own podcast, what would it be about, Cole?
Man, you know, there are so many interview-based podcasts out there, but what I've found in talking to people is that that's such a great tool for networking and meeting people. So I would probably start something that's interview based, and I would probably interview people who have maybe struggled or had challenges with things that I'm interested in learning more about personally, just because it's a great way to reach out to people and meet new people and have conversations with people that you otherwise, you know, really had no reason to reach out to them, but maybe really wanted to have a conversation with them. This is a really great way to do it. And found a lot of people who have had a lot of success with doing that.
Yeah, it's a built-in icebreaker, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So you attended Indiana University.
Yeah, that's right.
What'd you study there?
I studied business, specifically public policy analysis, which is in their economics department of the business school. I chose that degree because it was the shortest and the fastest way to get out of college.
All right, fair enough. Hey, that's an honest answer. I love it. So I think I read somewhere that you have interests that lie somewhere in like outdoors and obstacle racing and courses and things like that. Is that true?
Yeah. So my wife and I have been really into this lately. We travel all around and have been doing some obstacle races or mud runs. A lot of people know them as mud runs, like Tough Mudder, Spartan races, things like that.
Yep.
So yeah, we travel. We actually we've done them the last two weekends. We're going to be traveling all over in the next couple of months doing those. And I listen to tons of podcasts about those too.
Well, so let me ask you this. Do you or your wife or the both of you ever find yourselves thinking about maybe doing something like an Amazing Race or a Survivor?
I would love to. I just, right now we just really need to make a name for ourselves. So we're training. We've got a bunch of like rigs and stuff built in our backyard. I'm hanging up some more gymnastics rings today so I can kind of do some more training here, but we've got to start performing at some of these races and making a name for ourselves.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, hey, you're a young up and coming co-founder of a fantastic company. You're going to be networking with people. I can see you getting your foot in the door at Amazing Race or Survivor and trying out and making that happen, you know?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I honestly hadn't even thought of that. One of our, so Bradley out of Louisville, Survivor is like one of his favorite TV shows. And actually for his birthday this year, I got him a Survivor themed t-shirt. So I'm surprised I didn't think of that myself, but that's a good idea.
See there, Cole, I'm always thinking ahead for you, buddy. There you go. And how about playlist? Are you making any playlist when you go on runs or do any of this kind of stuff? Kind of hard to do in on mud courses, but like I assume you probably go out just for runs often.
Yeah, I do. I actually also just got these really cool bone conduction headphones.
I've heard about them.
So because I listen to a lot of audio, and I've had things like the over the ear Bose headphones and things like that. But for running, I've been trying to find things that are really lightweight. And I listen to a ton of music and a ton of podcasts. And my long runs that are, 1 to 2 hours, it's a great time to consume some of the longer interviews that sometimes last a little over an hour. So I got these headphones. I think they're called Trex Aftershocks, is what they're called. But they don't go in your ear. They sit right in front of your ear and use your cheekbone to conduct, I guess, the noise into your ear, so you can hear your surroundings and the cars and vehicles and that sort of thing. So you can be aware of your surroundings while you run. But that's my time when I listen to even more podcasts.
Yeah. So I know exactly what you're talking about. So probably, I don't know, I want to say maybe 2-3 years ago, I tried some of these for swimming, because when you swim, you can't headphones on. So they made these bone conductor headphones for swimming. Because I swim 3 times a week, my joints can't take the running 7 days a week. So, and I found it to be kind of tinny. How do yours sound?
I'll tell you what, they don't sound that great.
Okay.
But for podcasts, it's okay, because I'm not necessarily looking for like in music, you care probably a lot more about the sound and, the audio quality, but I'm just looking to consume the content and hear what they have to say. So I care a little bit less about it, but yeah, it's not the greatest audio quality. The volume's okay, but there's really no like bass to it or anything. And it is a little tinny. Yeah.
Yeah. So you make a perfect point here, and maybe I'll retry those things, but use them strictly for podcasts, because I'm like you, I listen to a lot of podcasts all the time, but my music, yeah, I want my music to be rocking.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So let me ask you about this. You provided, or I read somewhere where you provided a keynote speech to over 100 participants in a local startup weekend competition. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. And, this was part of the reason why whenever I went to Indiana University, I was trying to graduate as soon as possible. So co-founder at Podchaser, Bradley out of Louisville, we also out of college attempted to do the whole startup thing right out of college. We had no money. We took out loans against our cars, mm-hmm. and we're working part-time at like Best Buy trying to bootstrap a startup company called Ready Raven. And that lasted a little while. We were actually relatively successful, but we had no idea at the time that, especially with proven revenue, we could have approached angel investors or venture capitalists and raised some money. So we ran out of cash pretty fast, and it ended up failing for that reason, because we just didn't know that the whole fundraising scene existed in the startup space. But yeah, so we provided a keynote speech to a startup weekend competition, because we had at the time successfully launched that startup. And we also had an app that we had created for local restaurants and for people to discover local restaurants and get deals to go try new local places to eat, because that was something that we were really into that at the time. But yeah, that was down in Evansville.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know a ton about like this world of startups and things like that, but more recently, some of the things that I've been editing have been in the financial sector and have been dedicated to startups and think tanks and things such as that. So I find it quite interesting. So yeah, it's very cool kind of area. So you and Bradley Davis met in school, is that right?
Yeah. So we met in the 6th grade. We went we've grown up together, best friends, met in the 6th grade, went to middle school together, high school for a couple of years, and then kind of reconnected partway through college. Yeah.
That's extremely cool. So you're basically chasing the American dream, doing this startup thing, but you're doing it with somebody you grew up with. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, we've been doing this for a while. At one time, we worked at the same place. We were dating sisters, living together, and running a startup. So our lives are pretty intertwined.
That's pretty cool. And I'm guessing maybe, tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm guessing maybe the two other co-founders in Australia, those are the money guys.
So Ben is our CTO, our lead developer, and Ryan is our lead designer.
Oh, okay.
So, actually Bradley did most of the fundraising. I helped a little bit, but we had mostly just investors that we approached in Louisville, Kentucky, and that kind of spread pretty quickly to New York.
Very cool. Who's currently your biggest supporter right now?
Biggest supporter with money?
Yeah. with the company as a whole, I guess.
Yeah. So our lead investor is a guy named Matt Luckett with Alba Holdings out of New York City. And he was able to connect us with a lot of other kind of VCs and institutional investors out in New York. That's really where a lot of the podcasting scene is. Most of the podcast startups, podcast platforms, podcast studios. Gimlet's about to open a new studio in Brooklyn with 13 podcast studios. It'll be the biggest in the world, but that's pretty much everything is out in New York. I need to make my way out there sometime to meet some of those people, but that's where kind of all of podcasting is right now.
Well, I got to be honest with you, Cole, the Growing Up Rock Tower is actually planted firmly in Atlanta, Georgia currently. So,
oh yeah. No, Atlanta's big in podcasting too.
You know, it's spacious. It's a house on a street, but really super amazing tower that we have and a couple of cats that run around the studio. It's fantastic, buddy.
Yeah.
So does it surprise you how fast podcast media has been growing over the years?
I wouldn't say that it surprises me. It's really, you know, it's just like, I like to compare it a lot to cable TV. Mm-hmm. So it's just like cable TV and Netflix. There's no surprise that Netflix is growing so fast because you can pay $10 a month versus the $60 to $150 a month, whatever you pay for cable, and you get no commercials. So with radio, you know, it's you turn on your radio station, you listen to whatever they want you to listen to, and yes, then you listen to just as many commercials. Then, you know, music started to take over and there was the whole iTunes and iPod movement. But then, you know, talk radio has always been big. So there's the podcasting side of that. But then, you know, when people discovered that there's so many podcasts about every single niche that you could ever dream of, like I listened to the podcast about obstacle racing. That just didn't exist back right in the radio days. And now it can exist because of podcasting. So I wouldn't say that it surprises me. I think that it's going to keep growing double digits year over year. Our entire business relies on it, so it has to.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think you're wrong. And it really, you kind of answered where I was going with my next question, was your thoughts on the future of radio. But I mean, I'm with you in the whole reason that I started listening to podcasts was basically because of the commercials that were on the radio and the fact that radio chose what I wanted to listen to or what I had to listen to. And so I'm with you 100%. You can find a podcast for anything that interests you. Obstacle racing is your thing, there's a podcast. If knitting is your thing, there's a podcast. And I think what we try to accomplish at Growing Up Rock is basically what I always liked, which is a combination of music and talk about music without all the commercials. But yeah, that's fantastic. What are your most popular podcasts on Podchaser?
Yeah, I was just about to share this, so I'm glad you asked, because something that really, really surprised me was that there are a lot of podcasts about music, a lot of successful podcasts about music and really popular ones. You go to the category page, the music category page on our website, you'll see a lot of the other ones with you guys up top there, but I think it accounts for something like 10% of our website traffic right now is people coming and discovering podcasts about music or music podcasts. So that's honestly one of the top categories, along with things like audio drama. People always used to listen to like books on tape, that sort of thing. Now it's transitioning to be, you know, audio dramas in podcast form. So that's really popular on our website. And of course, there's all the really popular stuff, like the Joe Rogan podcast and all the Gimlet Media stuff is pretty popular on the website. So we tend to get a fair amount of traffic just from the main big stuff. But I would say what surprised me probably more than anything was the music category and the audio drama category are both huge.
When you say audio drama, that's a lot of the things like these true crime podcasts that are happening now, right?
Yeah. So actually, true crime is a whole separate category. And I would put that at a close like third or fourth position there.
Oh, wow.
So there are a ton of true crime podcasts on the website, too, that are big hits.
Yeah, I think just podcast in general, I mean, there's so many different podcasts. And it's great because if you do your homework, you know, anybody can put out a podcast. Now, that being said, I think that there are a lot of leveling different degrees of quality podcast out there, which, you know, I mean, I've always prided ourselves here at Grown Up Rock is putting out a pretty quality product. It's pretty streamlined, sounds decent, you know, flows like a show should flow, in my opinion. But I still like the fact that you have the option to choose what you want to listen to.
Yeah, and I think it's a good and a bad thing. It's great because we get all of these podcasts and the different niches that people are interested in. And without that low barrier to entry, we might not have that. So there's a lot of pros and cons to it. But that's one thing that we're really trying to do with the website is make it so that when people rate and review things, really the cream of the crop is what rises to the top. And you can see what people are rating and reviewing, even individual episodes. We're the only platform right now that has individual episode reviews. But we think that's really important because when podcasts have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of episodes, you don't know where to start. I know you guys have a good amount of episodes, but it would be great, you know, to know which ones are people's favorites and then get feedback on that, too. So. Yeah. That's something that we're trying to do.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think there's several, speaking for myself, there's several podcasts out there where I don't necessarily like every subject that they're covering. So I pick and choose what I really want to listen to, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I skip, you know, I subscribe to something like 60 or 70 shows.
Yeah.
But I would say I don't listen to probably 90% of the episodes that they release just because there's so many. I'd have to listen to podcasts for 28 hours a day.
Let me ask you this. Do you listen at normal speed or do you listen at time and a half or two times the speed?
We implemented the whole like 1.1x, 1.5x on our website. A lot of people listen to it like that. You know, maybe my brain just doesn't work fast enough. I don't do that. I like listening to it in a normal cadence. Maybe if I was like just really trying to learn something really quick, I would do that. But I prefer, I guess, listening to normal people have normal speed conversations.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I'm sort of the same way. I don't like the whole chipmunk thing. But if it's a strict talk podcast, sometimes I can deal with it at 1.5 speed. But if there's any music involved, definitely not at anything other than normal speed. So yeah. I'm with you there. What are some of the biggest challenges you guys have faced so far as a company?
You know, this is our first time doing any sort of fundraising, doing anything at this big of a scale. And I would say just for the last year, we've bootstrapped it, or really for the last 2 years, we've bootstrapped this. So we've used our own, you know, personal funds, our evenings and weekends building this, put a lot of time and energy into it. And now that we have investors, there's certain expectations that we have to meet, and we have a pretty short timeline to do that. We've got about a year of runway right now to really prove what we're doing is something that people really want. And so making the right decisions with the right developers to hire, the right contractors to hire, the right marketing to do, the right people to partner with, getting in touch with some people. So one thing that's been great is our investors, especially since they're out of New York, have been able to put us in touch with a lot of the big podcasting networks. Thank goodness, because sometimes it's just hard to get in touch with people. You know, you reach out to them on Twitter, on LinkedIn, through email, you know, especially people with successful companies, they probably get cold called and emailed 12 times a day from the same person. And, you know, it's just sometimes it's hard to break through the noise whenever you need to get in touch with people. And when we're on such a strict timeline, I get pretty impatient pretty fast. Like we just released, you know, our custom list feature last week, and we have people create lists every 10 minutes, I look at our kind of feed, internal feed that we have, and somebody made a new list of podcasts. But every time I see it, my only thought is, oh, that's not enough. I need to see 10 times that. So just moving very quickly, I would say.
All right. Well, as soon as I hang up with you, I'll create a couple of new podcast lists. I haven't messed around quite with the podcast list yet.
Yeah, you definitely should. Well, one thing that would be great for your show, or, you know, great for the shows that you like, is creating, like, one thing that we've seen that people really enjoy is like best of lists or top hits or something, where you maybe see the most downloaded episodes of your show or some of your favorite shows, whatever your favorite episodes are, maybe a different show, and then share that out so that people know a good place to start. I know that those are lists that I like and seem to be shared the most.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's one of the things, I think one of the bonuses with Podchaser is you guys make it super easy to share episodes or shows or any of that stuff. You guys make it really, really easy to share throughout all the different social media platforms.
Yeah, we appreciate it. That's something that we've thought about from the beginning, because me being a Samsung user, and same with Bradley, I don't know if the Australians, I think they actually have iPhones, but I've never used Apple Podcasts in my life. Uh-huh. So somebody shares, you know, an iTunes link. What am I going to do with that? I can't click on that and open a podcast and listen to it. So really, that's what we've really tried to do, is just create an easy way for people to share their favorite things in a way where, you know, if you have an iPhone, you can click on a Podchaser link and then open up that episode directly from Podchaser in Apple Podcasts. So, or in many, many other players that we partnered with.
That's a great point. What, in your opinion, do you think makes a successful podcast?
You know, I think that if I am giving a podcast a kind of a test run, maybe somebody recommends a new podcast to me, or it shows up on the website as a trending show and I'm just getting into it, the first impression is always going to be, for me, audio quality.
Yep.
If I have to listen to static or something cutting in and out, I'll never subscribe to it.
Yeah.
It gives me a headache. I can't stand it. And then I think beyond that, it's just got to be really interesting content. You know, something that people really, it's got to be on topic, and it's got to be something that people are really going to be interested in listening to. But I would say the audio quality is probably the first thing that I look for always. If I listen to something that has poor audio quality, within the first 5 seconds, I'll probably just turn it off.
Yeah, I mean, and that makes 100% sense, because the first thing you're doing is hearing, right? You're hearing it first and foremost. And of course, it's all whether or not it's something that interests you in the long run. But I mean, if you can't, even if it's something that interests you in the long run, but sounds like total crud, you don't want to continue listening. So absolutely 100% valid there. What do you think has been the biggest success so far for Podchaser in your eyes?
You know, I think that over the last year, just so we've had right now close to 3,000 or so podcasts have gone onto the website and claimed their page. They've edited their vanity URL and updated their social media links and things like that. So I think the biggest success we've had is just building anticipation for all of the features that we're currently building. So we've got something like 10,000 registered users and many, many more people than that that actually just visit the website and don't make an account. But we've been basically touting ourselves as the IMDb for podcasts. But when you think of IMDb, you think of, you know, I can search for Will Smith and I can see his entire filmography and every movie he's ever been in, and then the ratings for all those movies or TV shows and episodes of those TV shows, which we're getting there. We're the only platform right now with individual episode ratings, but we've had a lot of success getting people really excited about our upcoming creator profile pages. So like you and Sunny and every podcast creator is going to have their own profile where you can see, I'll have my own profile, so you can see all the other interviews that I've been in. You can see, you know, what other podcasts people have guest starred in and produced, and the ratings for all the episodes of all those podcasts. And we think that that's going to be a really big step toward helping people discover new shows. But I think just building anticipation for that, you know, people are kind of just, you know, on the edge of their seats waiting for us to come out with that. And we'll have some announcements here in the next month or two, but that's probably our biggest success.
Yeah. And you talked about IMDb of podcast. I'll tell you another thing that I kind of thought of when I was reading and looking around the website and doing all that stuff is kind of a Rotten Tomatoes of podcasting as well because of all the different reviews and stuff. So I can see maybe one day in the future, hey, Podchaser gave this podcast 5 stars. Check it out. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. And I actually, not too long ago, met with one of the founders of Rotten Tomatoes because we just reached out to get some feedback, and we'll eventually have, you know, a proprietary rating system that's integrated into everybody's favorite podcast players. So you'll open up, you know, your podcast player, you'll listen to an episode, you'll see a Podchaser rating, and we're already working with 6 or 7 podcast apps to do this, but you'll open up an episode, see the Podchaser rating for that episode with our, you know, signature pink stars and our logo next to it. And then you can open up the Podchaser reviews for that episode. So we're working to kind of make, you know, how the tomato meter is kind of ubiquitous for movies and everybody recognizes the IMDb logo with the rating out of 10 for those movies and TV shows. We're going to do the same thing with podcasts and podcast ratings. So you open up, you know, your favorite app and we're all over it.
It's very cool. So how can Podchaser and the podcast creators work best together, do you think?
You know, the best way for us to work with creators is we've done some really successful things like giveaways. So and we've helped sponsor some of these, but we've done some giveaways with a few shows where the podcast creators will ask listeners to, you know, rate and review their favorite episode or the most recent episode. And then everybody who rates and reviews it and gives feedback to the creator is entered to win some sort of drawing. And, you know, maybe that's a prize from one of the sponsors of the show, or maybe that's something that we work with the show to put some sort of prize together with them. But we've seen shows get well over 100 ratings and reviews just from doing simple giveaways like that. And that's really, we'll eventually probably stop doing it as sort of like a sponsored thing, but put up, you know, a page with here's the way that we suggest you run this sort of content. And people have been doing these sort of contests and giveaways with iTunes for a while. But again, the problem is only 50% of people who listen to podcasts use iTunes. So you're doing giveaways and contests with your entire listener base, but missing out on half of them. So you're only getting half as much participation as you might normally. And you can't ask for individual episode feedback. So maybe at the end of the show, say something like, you know, go tell us what you think about this interview with Cole. And then people have the opportunity to go on Podchaser and talk about how boring I am, or, you know, how great of an interviewer you are, whatever. But, you know, normally they would leave that review on the entire show itself instead of talking about the individual episodes. So the contests and giveaways is one great way that we've worked together with podcasts, but then also just giving them a voice. So independent podcast creators don't have the means, they don't have the resources as some of these large networks or the iHeartMedias of the world, right, you know, or the big news organizations, you know, New York Times. They just don't have the resources to put behind the marketing and awareness for their shows. So we have different things that we do, like a podcast of the day on all of our social media, which has thousands of followers. We do a feature piece each week. We've hired, you know, content writers that we work closely with to do a series right now that we're doing called Chasing Pods, where we interview independent podcasts and take a deep dive into them and do, you know, a 400 or 500 word piece on the show and an interview with the creators. So we're really trying to work with independent podcast creators to help them get discovered because that barrier to entry to create podcasts is so low and there's 600,000 plus podcasts out there. It's really, really hard to break through the noise unless, you know, you have good partners and people to work with to do that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, actually. And I love the fact that you guys are focusing on the small guys, because I think it's just a win-win situation. If you're able to take a smaller podcast and build them up, then that's only going to be good for everybody involved, whether it's Podchaser or whether it's the actual podcast itself. So makes 100% sense. I love it. What social media platform has worked best for Podchaser in spreading the word?
You know, for a while it was Facebook. We were part of, you know, people would talk about us in some groups and things, and we would post and share, you know, kind of our plans and what we were doing. But really probably Reddit more than anything. Yeah. You know, we've posted in the podcast community on Reddit and in the entrepreneur community on Reddit. We posted just last week our whole story about how we fundraised and how we built, you know, everything that we've done so far and our plans for the future. And something like 40 or 50,000 people have read that and gone to the website from that. And we actually ended up getting an investor from that post. So
where do you think I got some of my research?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I'm one of the 50,000, so there you go.
Yeah. So Reddit and, you know, Twitter's been great for us too. But the mistake that a lot of people make, especially podcasts make, is just posting for the sake of posting. Every time that we post something, we try to bring value in some way instead of just saying, hey, here's a new episode. You know, maybe digging into, you know, sharing something, a snippet or something of really interesting content from that episode that engages people, just putting more thought into it, I would say. But yeah, Twitter's been great for us too, because you could talk directly with people and respond to them. And it's always good.
Very cool. So at times people can be a little overly negative when it comes to reviews and things like that. Does Podchaser currently, or do you plan to do anything about building in filters or any of that kind of stuff? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Yeah, we will. We try to just in general, as part of our brand, remain as unbiased and agnostic as possible. So the only time that we would do that is if it's got to the point where it was just harassment, or if people were using too much foul language or something right. along those lines. We haven't really had too much trouble with that, with the 50 or 60,000 ratings and reviews on the website. There have only been, you know, maybe a handful that have been just totally inappropriate that we've had to do something about. But for the most part, people are really supportive, and we found that podcasting community is supportive overall.
And I think primarily that kind of stuff comes from spammers and trolls and stuff like that. I mean, because if you don't like a podcast, just don't listen to it.
That's yeah. If I don't like a podcast, I'm probably not going to take the time to go rate it one star or something. My time is more valuable than that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. So I would be a little bit crazy for me if I didn't ask you a couple of music questions. So do you remember kind of the first albums you purchased with your own money?
Oh, man. Albums I purchased with my own money. So I grew up I went to a very religious elementary school and middle school. So, you know, if I had to think about, and at the time I listened to a lot of like Christian alternative and Christian rock. So probably something like that.
Maybe a little Petra or Striper or something.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what I was thinking of. Probably something exactly like that.
What are you listening to these days? Like, what floats your boat in the world of music these days?
Yeah, honestly, just about anything. So I use Google Play Music right now, and I listen to a lot. I use their activities thing. So like when I'm working out, I just select I'm working out, and then it comes up with, you know, different playlists. I like to listen to some of the rock playlists that they have, but I'm so bad about remembering bands and names stuff. Of songs.
Yeah. It's more of a background for you.
Yeah. So what I usually do is if I like a song, I'll give it a thumbs up on that platform, and then it saves it to a separate playlist that I can go back and listen to later. I would totally be open to suggestions on, I do like to listen to more rock music, especially while I'm running or working out or that sort of thing. So totally open to suggestions there instead of just listening to what Google tells me to.
Well, anything Grown Up Rock is going to suggest to you is probably going to get your blood pumping on your runs for sure. unless you're talking to my partner, Sonny, who prefers every once in a while a good ballad, you're not going to get a whole lot of that from me. I like to crank it up loud. How about concerts? Have you seen any good concerts that you really remember or resonate with you?
Yeah. You know, who was that? Google. I went to this one good
concert. You're Googling it, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I went to a Shinedown concert. I like that.
Okay.
That's rock, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Poor Cole, you're stuck behind a desk doing your business thing. We got to get you out more. When we come to Indianapolis, we're going to drag you out to a good rock and roll concert.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's plenty here. I went to a Need to Breathe concert recently. That was pretty good.
That's awesome. So what are the next steps for Podchaser as a whole?
The next step is to come out with those creator profile pages. We're going to Podcast Movement next week, which is the biggest podcast show, I think, in the world.
Yep.
That's in Philadelphia next week. So we're flying out Monday. We're going to have a booth there where we're going to be taking professional headshots of all the podcast creators so that they have good headshots to upload as soon as we come out with those creator profile pages that they can use as part of their professional presence in podcasting on our website. And we'll have, actually, that'll be the first place where we announce early signups to that feature. So we'll be registering people with iPads at our booth and attaching their name and email to the podcast that they created, so that as soon as we have kind of an early version of that, they'll be the first people that'll be able to access that feature. So that's probably the most exciting thing that we're doing in the next couple of months. And then we'll be adding things like discussion boards later this year, and we'll have network pages so you can follow your favorite podcast networks and things like that. We're also doing a total redesign of our homepage so that whenever you go to the website, you'll be able to easily see different categories like music and audio drama and true crime. There'll be kind of a carousel on our website of different categories, so you can discover new shows in specific categories and then see lists that people have made directly from our homepage. And we'll probably do, just like we have that independent podcast feature on our social media, we'll probably have a section where we do a podcast spotlight for maybe a week at a time to help some independent podcasts get discovered directly on our homepage. And, you know, that's seen by thousands of people every day. So we're hoping to use that as kind of a tool to help some shows grow. But, you know, right now the website's, the list features was our most recent big step toward becoming the IMDb for podcasts. But we've got some super exciting stuff coming in the next 2 months or so.
Yeah. And you guys use existing tools that are already out there and kind of integrate yourself in by working with them. So I don't think that you have any plans of producing an app anytime soon for Podchaser, right?
Right now, the website's mobile friendly. So you go to the website, all the same functionality is on the mobile version that's on the desktop version. You know, maybe with our next round of funding, we'll make an app. You know, IMDb has an app. All those other platforms have an app. I don't know that it's essential to what we do necessarily. Right. So we don't have anybody working on one today, but maybe in the future.
Yeah, because I mean, one of the things I think I read with you guys is that you were working with other podcast platforms that are out there to integrate your services in with them. So it said to me that, you know, it wasn't something that was on the top priority list for you guys.
Yeah, and we're not aiming to compete with any of those podcast players. A lot of them are working. We've got really close relationships with a few of them. That's what they specialize in. They're really good at being podcast players. I use Pocket Cast personally, but they're really good at what they do, and their platform is built for that. And that's not exactly what we're trying to build.
That's awesome. Is there anything that you want to talk about or cover that maybe I haven't covered with you yet?
I don't think so. You've done a great job at getting all the good stuff out of me.
And we'll tie all the website, you know, podchaser.com. We'll tie all that stuff in our show notes so people can go seek out Podchaser just by going to the show notes of Growing Up Rock, and you guys are easy to find. Are you guys going to eventually move the beta tag from the website?
We will. And I imagine we're going to do that as soon as we come out with all the features that kind of make us the IMDb equivalent for podcasting. So whenever those creator pages come out and we redesign our homepage, probably in the next 2 months.
Okay.
So because we just closed our round of funding last month, most of the features on the website have been the same for the last year or so, apart from lists. So kept that beta tag up there, but then we'll probably have an official announcement, maybe in September, I would say around there, of here it is.
Cool. Yeah, here it is. Do what you will with it. It's out there now. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very cool. Well, Cole, you've been awesome. Thank you so much for spending this time and shedding light on Podchaser. We love it so far. We plan on preaching the word of Podchaser. You guys have been very helpful so far to Growing Up Rock. So very cool. I appreciate everything.
Thanks so much. And I'm going to have to check back on some of your upcoming or recent episodes that I can get some good suggestions for music to work out to, because I don't have anything right now.
Yeah. I'll send you a personalized list that you'll love.
Cool.
Get ready to shuffle, rattle, and roll. Play us out, boys. Please make sure you subscribe to our podcast, Growing Up Rock, and leave us a review on iTunes. Give us a like and leave us a comment on Facebook at Growing Up Rock.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.